I'm so excited to introduce this next part of our service today. Bobby and Rick have been a blessing to my life because they're so special to my whole family, and I am blessed today to have my sister and my brother here with me today. And they know all about me and still love me. Ain't that something? Amen. They still show up. My sister was like my second mama, and she's like, well, she's real like my mama now. So she tells me everything to do anyway. Amen. That's good though. We men need that. But Beverly and Rick have been a blessing to me. The Lord's really blessing her life. She's written a book, and Get a Grip is the name of that book. And is that just for women? For everybody. Amen. She does a great job ministering. She's been speaking Friday, Saturday, and then today. So I know that she's getting tired, but we're so glad that she could work in her schedule to be with us today. She's been a blessing to me, and I know she's going to be a blessing to you. So I'm introduced to you, Miss Beverly Weeks.
From the big, large city of Nahanta, North Carolina. If anybody knows where that is. It is funny, we have been on the road every single weekend since January. We usually keep one weekend out of the month protected for our family, because how many of you know family is your first ministry? Amen. Family is your first ministry. And so I am excited and tickled pink to be here with you guys today. I will tell you, I loved that choir special. I could not help but get teary-eyed, especially seeing her do the sign language. My aunt is 64 years old and has been deaf for 64 years. Fox News did a story on her last night. My aunt was given an implant this week, and for the first time this weekend, for Mother's Day weekend, she is able to hear. So I just praise God for that. So we're excited. She's experimenting. I was able to speak with her through Facebook because she's in another state. It's very unusual, as you can understand, hearing sounds for the first time. I'll be honest with you. Her physicians have said she may not for quite some time be able to understand speech, but she's hearing and experiencing the wind below for the very first time. She said just to hear the sound of the wind below for the very first time. But isn't God good?
Amen.
When we are gone on the weekend, I will not lie to you, I do not like to fly. That is just not one of my things, is flying. As a matter of fact, sometimes I will base my reaction on how I see my flight attendant acting. If her face goes white, then my face goes white. But what is one of the first things when we're on there? I will not lie to you, they do not like me. I'm a cut up. You'll find that out. But she'll go over all the instructions, and I'm the only one on the plane that will raise my hand. Because if it's going down, I want to make sure I understand everything. So I'll raise my hand and I'll say, "Can you repeat that just one more time?" And you expect all of this to float on that? That ain't happening, sister. But what is the first thing they do when she's walking around in the compartment? There's a little mask, a little gas mask or oxygen mask that falls down. And what is the first thing that she will tell you to do? You gotta put it on yourself first. Because you see, if you don't put it on yourself first, if you don't give yourself that oxygen first, then you are worthless and you are useless to the people around you. You cannot minister to the people in your church. You cannot minister to the people at your jobs and in the community and within your homes. You cannot minister to your spouse. You cannot minister to your children. So I believe I've come here today through the Holy Spirit to give you a little to give you a little bit of oxygen. How many of you know that our world, there are a lot of things going on in our world that we just don't quite understand? The Bible says in John 10, verse 10, that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Now more than ever, he wants to tear you down. He wants to tear your marriages apart. He wants to tear your families apart. He wants to tear your homes apart, with his intention being, his greatest intention being, trying to destroy the church. On average, every day, every one of us in here, this was so fascinating to me. My husband and I do marriage counseling, so I have been studying the human brain a little bit to see where our thoughts come from and our actions come from. And I've been studying the male brain and the female brain. How many of you know they're very different? I won't even go there. I'll save that for the marriage conference. But they're very different. But one thing we all have in common is each one of us in here have on average 50 to 80,000 thoughts that go through your mind in any given day. Can you believe that number? 50 to 80,000 thoughts go through your mind in any given day. Sometimes as a woman, I feel like I have that many in an hour. Every single action that you do, every single action you do begins with a thought. Begins with a thought. Listen to me. Some of Satan's greatest weapons are psychological. He wants to bring you down. He tries to attack you with depression and make you feel like you're not worthy enough and you're not smart enough and you're not pretty enough and you're not valuable enough. How about when the enemy even tries to attack you in your prayer time and you're praying for something and you're sitting there, maybe you're sitting there this morning and maybe you've been praying for God to move in a certain situation in your life and the answer just has not come. You ever been there?
Amen.
Maybe it's in your marriage this morning. Maybe you find yourself struggling and you're like, Lord, how much longer? Maybe it's in your finances and you're saying, oh, if she only knew what I was going through. And you find yourself sometimes, if this makes any sense, I have been in prayer time and pray to God and sometimes it feels like the prayers are just ricocheting off the ceiling. Because you're like, Lord, are you listening? Are you hearing? And we are an instant society, are we not? I don't know about y'all, but I hate the word wait.
Me too.
I cannot, when I go to those verses in the Bible, like, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. In Isaiah 40:31, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. I'm like, ooh, let me just skip over that one. It's got the word wait in there. Because we are, as humans, an instant society, right? We like everything instant. We want to go through the drive-thru and get our fries instant. There's instant soup. There's instant grits. You can go through the ATM and make an instant withdrawal, get instant cash. You can meet a woman and find online or anywhere and get instant love, which sometimes can lead to instant migraines and might even lead to instant divorce. Amen? Amen. But we want things instantly, right?
Yeah.
I have been known in my own life to try to want to solve things instantly myself without waiting upon. And how many of you know when you do that, you can end up in a mess? You can end up in a mess. I'm going to take you to the Word of God this morning in Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. Now what I want to do for you is set this up for you. Because in Genesis chapter 15, the Lord has told Abram. Now in the scriptures, in the beginning of Genesis, Abraham and Sarah are first known as Abram and Sarai. Abram and Sarai, until God changes their name in about chapter 18. But Abraham has been promised by the Lord. He says, I am going to make you a father of many nations. Many nations. The problem is, when we are heading into chapter 16, that Abram is finding himself 85 years old. 85 years old, and there still is not a child. Abram is 85, Sarai is 75, and Abram's been working, waiting on the Lord. It's been approximately about 10 years since the Lord first made this promise, and they're getting a little antsy. And how many of you know sometimes when we get a little antsy, we might try to take things into our own hands? And it can get messy, right? So we're going to start with verse number one. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian slave, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me, or the Lord has kept me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened the voice, or Abram agreed to what Sarah said. I want you to see the first mistake right here. The first mistake that they made is they thought their problem was bigger than God. They thought their problem was bigger than God. Bigger than God. And then we see Hagar, another woman, as we're here discussing Mother's Day, another woman. Hagar is an Egyptian slave. In her time, she was considered as like this worthless outsider, like a worthless piece of property. And in their culture, it was actually normal for them, if your slave could bear children for you, then you can claim them for your own. But their first mistake they made, Sarah and Abraham, was they thought their God was a small God. Even after God had already done for them in these first 15 chapters, they thought their problem was bigger than their God. Thought their problem was bigger than their God. Verse 3, and Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. To be his wife. When we get desperate, and we're desperate for an answer to a situation in our life, if we don't depend on God and what God's promises says for us in this book, the promises that he has made to us, you see, there is a solution to every situation that you're going through this morning. But if we get desperate and God doesn't answer in our timeline, how many of you know desperation can cause you to do stupid things? Desperation can cause you to do some stupid things. You can get in the flesh instead of the faith. You can get in the flesh instead of the faith, saying, oh Lord, you know what? You have not come in my timeline. You have not, you know what, Lord, if you'll do it this way, because, you know, sometimes I just feel like I'm so much smarter than you. If you'll do it this way, everything will be all right. But we will get away from the norm, and we will try to get in our flesh and try to fix things ourselves. Let's go on down to verse 4. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Imagine that. Her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon you. A lot of men like to joke and say, just like a typical woman trying to blame the man for the problem. But she does. She's saying, you are responsible. You are responsible for my suffering. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled. She fled. So here's Hagar. She's been put in this situation where she has to immediately marry Abram. It's not on any merit of her own. She didn't want to do this, but she's forced into this situation. And then Sarai has acted very rude, very ugly to Hagar. Because how many of you know when we get out of the will of God and try to fix things on our own and get it in our flesh and it leads to sin, those sins can have consequences. Those sins can have consequences. So here Hagar is, and Sarai is acting all ugly to her, and she says, I'm just going to run away. I'm just going to run away. I wonder how many times in our life when things get really tough, like we can't take it anymore, like we've had all we can have, do we just want to run away? Do we just want to run away from the problem? And you know, our world, our society, sometimes we even can bring it on ourselves when we let ourselves as a woman, not just a woman, but as a man, get so overwhelmed.
Right.
Have so many activities involved. Commit to everything. I remember many, many, many years ago, we even saw some struggles before we started marriage ministry. In our own marriage, if we were getting involved in so many activities, we said yes, 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 yes to everything. To everything. And it was causing us to be overwhelmed. Even if we're not careful today as Christians, we will get overwhelmed. And then we start comparing ourselves to other people. Oh, Vicky wears skinny jeans. Why can't I fit skinny jeans? You know, we start comparing ourselves. I work at the local crisis pregnancy center. I will not lie to you, it is one crisis after the other. A lot of these girls are involved in human trafficking. You may not know, but our state, the state of North Carolina, is number 3 out of all the states in the United States of America for human trafficking and prostitution. We're number 3, our state. So it's one crisis right after the other. And yes, I, just like you, have those 50 to 80,000 thoughts that go through my mind on any given day. And if I'm not careful, the enemy will start attacking my mind and telling me I'm not qualified, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not smart enough, and he wants to attack me with those lies. I had recently had one of those days. I had been with a client. She had found out she was pregnant. She did not want to tell her pastor. She did not want to tell her church. She just wanted to keep it hidden. And so this young mother chose to say, I want to end my life. And if I can end my life, then it will terminate this pregnancy. So this young mother, out of her desperation to keep her secret hidden because she was scared of the judgment she would face, she threw herself down a flight of stairs. And it had been one crisis after the other. Then my phone rang, and it was my husband, and he said, I need you to go pick up the children from the school. And I said, no problem, I can pick up the children from the school. The only problem was when I got in the car rider line, I realized that every other mother had been in the car rider line for over an hour. I'm like, what do these women do all day? I can barely get to the car rider line. And so I pulled up social media, and let me just stop right there and tell you, I see no harm. You know, if you want to look and talk to friends on Facebook, but let me tell you something, never compare your bad days to everybody else's good days. To everybody else's good days. Are you following me? That will preach right there. So I began and I looked on there and I saw where every single mother in Nahanta, North Carolina and Goldsboro, North Carolina, even mothers from Northview Christian Church that I knew, they had all kept squashed homemade casseroles and Pepperidge Farm deli meats for their husbands and homemade coconut pies for their families. And my son opened the door and I just lost it. Have any of you, don't raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass anybody. Has anybody in here ever had a mama meltdown? I had. He opened the door and I said, I am so sorry. And he looked at me just like you're looking at me, little girl. And I said, I have been a terrible mother. girl is looking at me, and you are ruining my chances. You're just ruining my chances. But I said all of that, I got in my flesh, I said all that to say that the enemy had Hagar to where she was feeling so insufficient. She was feeling so unseen and so unheard. So here we see Hagar just running from her problems. Running from her problems. Just like every day I have seen some women that will choose to run from their problems. Maybe by the lady flying, trying to go down the flight of steps, or women sitting in a garage and turning on the car and shutting the garage door. But people will get so desperate sometimes, instead of depending on God, they try to run from their problems. Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou? I want to tell you that angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, when I'm researching that, it says that that is like being the very presence of the Lord. The angel of the Lord found her and he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. So here we have Hagar again, who was living among God's people, and this hurt has been brought upon her. You may know what it's like to be sometimes among God's people, even within the church, and some hurt be brought about on you. Somebody say something hurtful to you. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. So here we see the angel of the Lord making her a promise. You go back, you're going to have a baby, and not will it be just one baby, but we're going to see a whole nation. He makes her a promise. Do you realize, as a godly individual, as a Christian, that there are over 7,000 promises in the Word of God for you? Our God has a promise for every single situation you are facing. Whether it be a situation with lack, you're needing God for provision in your family. You're needing God for provision or for restoration or healing in your marriage. You're needing God for healing to come in your body. You're needing God for a doctor's diagnosis report that you have received. I remember sitting in a doctor's office years, even right before Rick and I were getting married, and sitting before the doctor, and he looked at me and he said, Miss Weeks, you have a lump. And the first thing that the enemy tried to do to me to haunt my mind with was, I done met the finest thing in Wayne County. The finest hunk you will ever meet. And now I'm going to die. That was the first thing that the enemy will attack your mind. But I want you to know that there are promises for you as a child of God for every situation that you are facing. For every situation that you are facing. And I love to finish telling the rest of that story. You see, instead of running from that problem when the doctor did give me a diagnosis, I was determined as a child of God to fight. No matter what he would say, no matter what the situation would look like, and I have the scar to remind me. And you know, I used to think, this is such an ugly scar. When we first got married, I thought, how can I have this ugly scar? But I want you to know that a scar tells a story. A scar tells a story. A scar says that I did not run. And another thing, a scar says that I am a survivor. You hear what I'm saying? So if there's something that you've been facing, maybe you say, well, you know, we had this marriage, but this happened. I want you to know that the scars, the storms of life that you have been through, that they are there and they remind you these things. I love, Ronnie, what you said a while ago, that it's thrown in the sea of forgiveness. And then sometimes, though, honestly, because of things, we have the scar, but they are a reminder that we are survivors, that as a child of God, we have overcome. Let's skip on down to verse 11. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, thou art with child, you'll bear a son. So she is going to return home The difference this time is that she will take the presence of the Lord with her.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Whatever situation that you're facing this morning, whatever situation you're facing on this Mother's Day, maybe deep down you are even silently grieving because you did not have a good relationship with your mother. Maybe deep down you could even be grieving because you did not have the opportunity to parent. But whatever situation you are facing this morning on this Mother's Day, the very presence of God wants to walk it out with you, and you are not alone. You are not alone. I'm going to skip on down to verse 13 for the sake of time. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her. She says, "You are the God that sees me." Here we have Hagar, this Egyptian slave. She's feeling unseen, unheard, insignificant. And then she says, "But you are the God that sees me." So she ends up giving God the name El-Roi-E, which means the God who sees. And verse 15, let's skip on down. Hagar bore or bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old, or that just means he was 86 years old, when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So in verse 15, we see that she's returned, and she's bared him a son. He's 86 years old. But because she did not wait upon the Lord, I want you to get this morning. Because Sarah and Abram did not wait on the Lord, did not wait on his time, not only did they do stupid things and make rash decisions, but we still suffer from the consequence of their sin. Is not Israel and the Arabs still after, still against each other, still butting heads against each other? You see, so we as Christians, as godly people, we're still seeing the consequence of their sin. So what do you do this week, today, this month, this year, when you're going out into the community and you're facing a storm and you're needing an answer from God, and it looks like everything around you is falling apart? What do you do? What do you do in that situation that leaves you grief-stricken? Maybe you're embarrassed to even share it with your pastor. Maybe you're too hurt. Maybe you find yourself sitting on the end of a bed and you cry and you weep and you say, "God, are you even listening to me?" I've had those nights, if I can just be real with you, when you don't know what to pray. I want to give you four things in just a few minutes here. Four things to do this week when it looks like everything. It may even be when you're in school or you're in college and you're facing a situation and it looks like maybe a peer pressure or people are attacking you or a bully or the schoolwork's getting overwhelmed. And you don't know what to do. It may be in your marriage. It may be in your finances. It may be this week you're sitting in front of the doctor and he gives you a diagnosis. It may be you're saying, "Lord, should I do this with my business? Should I do this? Should I get married? Should I not marry him? Should I do this? Should I go to this job? Should I seek this employment?" What do you do? How do you know that you can be in the will of God? Number one, you need to go to God in prayer. You need to go to God in prayer. Seek Him first. Wonder how the story would have changed if Sarah and Abram had went to God first and said, "Now God, you made me this promise. You made me this promise. Now how do we get from here to there?" Because see, if you'll continue to read in the book of Genesis, just park it under one of those shade trees out there on the front lawn one day. Passed by my little girl a while ago. She goes, "Mom, their grass is way nicer than our grass." But I was here Saturday and had just got in my car and just walked over and looked at those shade trees. And I thought, one day I'm going to just get me a nice RC Cola and a bag of peanuts and a moon pie. I'm probably showing my age. Y'all might even know what a moon pie is. And just sat under that tree and read through Genesis. Because see, if they had stayed on course like God intended them to stay on course, if you'll read on down a few chapters later, the Lord comes straight right back to Sarah, and she does have a son named Isaac. She does have a son named Isaac. Abraham is 100 years old, and Sarah has a child. Imagine going into the maternity department at Walmart or Target. That should have been a sight back then. But he did give a child. But the first thing you've got to do, they should go to God. We should all go to God in prayer. I love, back a few months ago, there was a movie that came out called The War Room. I did love that movie. And I really loved Priscilla because I had the opportunity of being where Priscilla speaks. And she was not on the movie, but she's just a regular human just like us. And she will tell you when she was making that movie how spiritual warfare even came against her and her family. But in the movie, she's sitting in her closet with her bag of potato chips and praying. How many of you know that we may not always have the opportunity to be in a closet and praying? Some of my best prayers sometimes is even when I'm in my home, cleaning my son's room, or cleaning my daughter's room, or picking up my husband's shoes and just walking around the house and praying. Or I may get in my car and I've left a church and I can't remember what your names are. And I'll say, Lord, be with Pastor Ronnie. Does he not have one of the most amazing voices? This church is so blessed in our community that can have a singing pastor. Y'all are so, I tell you, I go around and I hear a lot of preachers preach and a lot of preachers and choirs sing. And young lady, oh, I could just see the anointing. When you said holy, I felt like a piece of popcorn over here. This has nothing to do with the message, but Doug, I've always wanted to know what makes a piece of popcorn pop. And I did. And so I went to Google it. Y'all know you can Google anything, right? And I went to Google popcorn, what makes it pop. And I found out that inside of that popcorn kernel, I'm fixing to make you sound really smart, so when you go and repeat this week, you will sound very smart to people around you. But inside that little kernel of corn is a grain of carbohydrate and a speck of water. Now, when you heat that little corn up, that little kernel, to approximately 212 degrees in your microwave, what happens is that water mixed with that little grain of carbohydrate makes it burst and it pops. You'll say, "Whoa, she taught us a lot at that church today." Can I just say something? That is how we are as Christians sometimes. When she was signing that song and she was singing, this was holy, right? I just want to go, holy. And when she was doing glory, oh, that was glory, right, girl? Yeah, that was glory. I just felt like, because this is, I'm like that piece of popcorn. When the Holy Spirit, which is that little bit of water that gets into us, and it starts steaming up, and you're singing, bowed on your knees and cried holy, and I'm thinking about my grandmother in heaven, or somebody, another mother that has gone on before us, and that I have the promise to get to see them again, and that Holy Spirit just bubbles up in me. I just want to pop. Is that all right with y'all?
Amen.
Because, you know, we'll travel and they'll say, "Ooh, what are you?" I said, "I've been raised Baptist all my life. I was raised in a Baptist church, went to a Baptist school, and ended up marrying a Pentecostal." And they say, "Well, what exactly are you?" And I say, "Well, I reckon I'm Bacticostal, if you ever heard of that." But the first thing you got to do is you got to go to God in prayer. The next thing you need to do is rally your support team. How much better would it have been if Sarah and Abram had to come together in prayer and said, "Let's pray about this. Let's see what God wants for our particular situation since we're barren and without children. If he wants us to do this, or if he wants us to take another method," rally your support team. What I mean is, yes, you can stay at home and be a Christian and not come to church, but we need each other.
Amen.
We need the communication
right.
of each other. That is why it's so important for us to be here at Northview Christian Church together. We need to rally our support team together. Listen to me. If you're going through a situation, if the advice being whispered in your ear is not godly, biblical-based advice, you need to run from it.
Amen.
You need to run from it. It is like you are going into war into Iraq and you're only armed with a water pistol. It won't work. We need, you hearing me this morning?
Amen.
We need each other. We need each other. Rally your support team. Ignore those negative thoughts that the enemy tries to put into your mind and tell you you're unseen, you're unheard, you're insignificant, you're unqualified.
Amen.
It will not work. Ignore those. How many of you know those are lies straight from the enemy himself?
Right.
You need to take them captive and send them right back to the pits of hell where they came from.
Right.
Ignore the negative thoughts and naysayers. These people that want to speak death into your life or speak words of harm over you or tell you, well, you'll never amount to anything. Ignore those people. How many of you know they can even be in your own family? But ignore those kind of people. And then lastly, that word that I told you that it's so hard for me to even get it out of my mouth is you gotta wait. You gotta wait on God and wait on His timing, because His timing is perfect. His plan is perfect for your situation. You see, sometimes God has us there and He's grooming. He's removing maybe some junk, some things that need to be removed. Or He's trying to make your faith stronger. He wants you solely dependent upon Him. Dependent upon Him. As I was studying this message specifically for this church and praying specifically for this church and every individual, I said, God, I don't know who's going to show up. I don't know who's going to come. I don't know who's going to be sitting in the seats. I don't know what their situation will be. I don't know what her situation is. I don't know what his situation is, Lord. I don't know what his situation is. Lord, how could I ever know what her situation is, Lord? What she has hidden in her heart, God. But you do, Lord. What would you have me to say to this church today, Father God? And that last word came to my mind again. Wait. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. Whatever your situation is that you're going through this morning, whether it be that you're struggling in that finance, He may have the finance, and you're wondering, Lord, how will we even make ends meet? The numbers are just not there. We've got too much month and not enough money. I don't know if you've ever been there. We have. When we first got married, we were so broke. We lived off of something called oodles of noodles. Y'all might not even know what they are, but they were good. And Mr. P's Pizza, you could buy all of them you wanted. And the little pot pies were 20 cents each. But there was too much month and not enough money. Maybe your situation is with a relationship this morning or a marriage situation. Maybe He's walked out on you. Maybe she's told you she doesn't feel anything for you anymore. She just doesn't love you anymore. Maybe you are grief-stricken because you prayed about a situation in your job or with a family situation. Maybe it's even a struggle with a child and that it just grieves your heart. Maybe it's a struggle with an addiction. But whatever your struggle is, I just stopped by this morning to tell you that there is an answer, a solution in the Word of God for you. The Bible says, and this has to be one of my favorite scriptures, in Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's where that prayer comes from. God just wants to hear the groanings and moanings of your heart. It doesn't have to be a fancy prayer. He wants to hear it from you. What are you asking God to do for you? But in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, I love this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, I'm talking about a peace that can be with you when you're in that doctor's office, that can be with you when you're sitting in front of a lawyer, that can be with you when you're sitting in front of a banker, that can be with you when you're sitting in front of a jailer because of a situation with a child, that can be with you when you're in the midst of a family argument. And the peace of God, a ridiculous peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me, please. I'd just love to pray for you. I'm wondering why no one is looking around. Why no one's looking around. If you would just think for just a second. Maybe you're thinking, I have a certain situation in my life, within my home, a personal situation, and I am praying with God. I'm in the middle of a situation, and I know I need to wait. I need to trust God, and I'm asking you, I'm raising my hand to God and saying, God, I need you to step in the middle of my situation, and sister, I'm raising my hand to you and asking you, would you just remember me or remember my family in prayer this morning? If you'll just slip it up and slip it back down. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 all over, yes. Anyone else? Yes, yes. Anyone else? I need God to move mightily in my situation. I feel myself frustrated. I feel myself discouraged, disappointed, and I need God to move. Would you just pray for me? Anyone else? Anyone else? Father God, I pray for this church this morning, Lord. First of all, Lord, I come to you and I pray for its pastor, Lord. I pray for an anointing, a fresh fire. I pray for encouragement, Lord, over Ronnie, Lord. For his deacon board, his Sunday school teachers, the pianist, the choir. Lord, I pray for a fresh anointing upon this church, because in these last days, Lord, you know as well as we know that people can get discouraged, we can get tired, we can get overwhelmed, Lord. So, Lord, I pray for a revival, a refreshing, an anointing to come upon this church, Lord. I pray for every family represented here today, Father God. I pray for those who are struggling in their finances, Father God, that you will give them the wisdom to get out of debt, Lord. You will give them the wisdom and put them on the right path to restoration in their finances, that you will provide provision for them, Father God. I pray for the one right now who is struggling in that marriage, Lord. They don't know what the next decision is. Should they walk? Should they stay? Father God, I pray for a holy discernment, Father God. I pray for that marriage, Lord, that you will begin to mend some things, that some forgiveness can come, Lord. Some healing can come in that area, Father God. I pray for the one that's received the diagnosis, Father God, for the one who's struggling with the back problem, Lord. The one who's struggling in their health, Father God. The one who's struggling with an addiction. The one that needs a job, Father God, Lord. You are God Almighty. You're our provider. You're our healer. You're our restorer. God, I pray for that individual. I pray for the one that's just sitting there with a question this morning. I'm praying right now, Father, for the one who's been running from you, Lord, and that needs to know you. I pray that they will pray the words, "Oh, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died on the cross to forgive me, and God, I'm asking you to come into my heart and save me, because, Lord, I'm lost. I need you, Father, to step on the scene." I pray for that one. I pray for every mother here today, Father God. Not just every birth mother, Father God, but I pray for every spiritual mother, the mothers that pour into others day after day with words of encouragement, Father God, with biblical truths holding us accountable. I pray for that mother who's wanting to bear, to get pregnant, Father God. I pray for that mother. I pray for the mother this morning that's grieving because she didn't have a good relationship with her mother, Father God. I pray for all of our mothers, Lord. I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you that before I was even formed in my mother's womb, Lord, you knew that I would be here today, Lord. You knew this would be the message. So, Lord, I have been your servant, Lord. I have been obedient. I asked you, Lord, to plant these seeds into every heart under the sound of my breath, Father. We will give you praise just like she did with her hands, Lord. We will give you honor and we will glory. And everyone said, amen and amen. Okay, while Ronnie's coming, I have a gift for all of you as well. As you know, my book is available at the Christian Soldier for $13. But because I love this church so much and this church means so much to me, and because your pastor loves you and he wanted you to have it, every woman in here today gets a free book. Okay? So thank you.
Stand if you will. That was a tremendous word today, wasn't it? Let's give the Lord one more clap of praise this morning. Amen. On a great Mother's Day, we thank you for coming and thank Beverly for coming and sharing that powerful word with us. I tell you, that's right where we live, isn't it? We all need that word to encourage us and guide us, because every one of us are in a situation where we need some direction. Beverly's going to be standing outside. She'll take time to speak with you. And we just appreciate all of you being here today. God bless every one of you. Father, thank you for this day, this beautiful day. Lord, it's been a great day in the Lord, and we thank you for all the needs and all the mothers. We ask you to bless every family in here and enrich them this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.